Praise the Lord, everybody. Let everyone give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Unto the Lord, unto the Lord, unto the Lord. Oh, let heaven know we're happy. Let the Lord know that we're happy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated just for a moment, and we want to say thank you. Thank you so much, Elder Garza, for the invitation to be here this year at PATH Conference, Preserving Apostolic Truth and Holiness. And I have to believe that such minded people are the only kind of people that would visit a meeting like this. Those that are interested, in fact, in preserving apostolic truth and holiness. And we believe both of those subjects go together. Holiness and truth. Truth and holiness. Praise God. And appreciate so much having made the acquaintance of Elder Garza a few years ago, and our friendship with him down through the years is, it's been very good. And I treat him just like I do a lot of my other friends, and that is, he don't hear much from me. We ought to do our friends better, don't you think? But we're going to do better. We're going to do better. But we appreciate him so very much, and I was very honored some months ago to be asked to come and be a part of this meeting this year. I haven't been the last year or so traveling very much, but I purposed in my heart that I would come and felt to come. And I'm not so sure about what I can contribute. I'm not so sure about that, but I have been a recipient. I have received from the rich, rich word of the Lord that we have heard from the very first night, and then all day yesterday as these men just unburdened their heart and spoke to us. I must say, from the heart of God. Praise God. These are very momentous days that we are living in. As Elder Frazier so aptly stated last night, we are facing challenges unprecedented, it seems, in these hours that we are living in. And from the pulpit to the pew, it's we all need the help of God. We all need the help of God. Praise the Lord. We have indeed been blessed and helped at this meeting thus far. And of course, anticipating the remainder, I want to hear from Elder Kelly again in just a little while, and I'll be mindful of the time. And he blessed us so greatly yesterday. I know sometimes when I can speak for myself, I hope I'm not out of place. Sometimes when you have, you know, back-to-back preaching and preachers, and it's kind of difficult sometimes to shift gears and try to adapt and to adjust. But I believe the hungry can be fed. Amen. I believe those that are really interested can somehow key in and receive something. And it is here a little and there a little. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Praise God. Praise God. And God in His mercy, knowing our human limitations, He just keeps sending His word by. And we get this and there and another. And we are trusting that by the time the trumpet sounds, that we'll be in the position rapture ready. Anybody interested in being rapture ready? Praise the Lord. Receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. And that's what all of this is all about, is that there's a real heaven and a real hell and a real judgment. We apostolics take that seriously. Church is not an entertainment production. Preaching is not another form of entertainment. Well, praise the Lord. We're not substituting pulpit for some theatrics that we're missing out there in the world. Amen. We want to have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Again, thank you, Elder Garza, to all of those who have served us so graciously, these ladies, and I'm sure the men, yes, that have worked. The food has been excellent. Man. Amen. It looks like some folks who come to these meetings, if they're as carnal as a gourd, it looks like they'd come get some good food sometimes. Amen. At least, of course, everybody hadn't been fed like we've been fed back there. But all the rest of you can say thank you, Jesus, for Taco Bell. So we fared a lot better back here in this back room. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Again, we're looking forward to the remainder. God bless you. I have a vivid imagination. Sometimes it is a curse. Sometimes it is a curse. If I could just imagine this morning that I was in Sunday morning at home. I find it a bit humorous. We all do it. We invite people to the pulpit and say, make yourself at home. We invite folks, just do it the way you do it at home. It all sounds good, but it really don't work out quite that way when you get up here and look at all these imposing faces and ministry. But you know what? There's as many ways to preach as there are preachers. I'm just one more. If you don't like my way, you know what? If you got that attitude, you won't like the other guy either. So, praise God. So we'll do our very best. God bless you. We need to get to business here. The book of Ecclesiastes, if you would like to stand and honor the word of the Lord today. The book of Ecclesiastes. And I am going to, by the help of the Lord, just try to relax and however possible that is, and just be myself see what the Lord will help us with. I feel like that I have something and it might take me a few minutes to work into it, so bear with me. The book of Ecclesiastes, I read from chapter number one of the book of Ecclesiastes. I like to read beginning verse number 4. We read quickly through verse number 11. And the writer said, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea. Yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come after those that shall come after. And may the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. And could everyone say, to my heart, to my heart. And I trust that would be our prayer and our sincere desire today. God bless you so kindly, and you may be seated. I have a subject title I'll give you in just a few moments, but the book of Ecclesiastes is a very informative book of our Bible. I was interested to learn that the very word in Ecclesiastes comes from the Hebrew word or definition of one who convenes and speaks at an assembly. It is one who convenes or calls together and speaks at an assembly. The Greek word is equivalent to it would be ecclesiastic, which is also termed the preacher. So it is that the book of Ecclesiastes has been called the book of the preacher. The book of the preacher. And he does preach to us. He does really, really preach to us in this book of the preacher. There are many timeless truths and there are many priceless treasures that are brought to us in this very, very informative book. The summation really, I think, speaks for all who have, as it were, called or convened an assembly, and for all that would attempt to preach in behalf of God and the truths of God. When in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, at the end of his writings, he said, "Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And so, for these many centuries and for these many years, if you would allow me to say that we have keyed in really upon this idea and this theme of being wise, the preacher, because he is wise, he taught the people, and so preachers through the years and the ages have attempted to seek God for that wisdom and to teach the people knowledge. And he has been one that has sought out and set in order words, lessons, messages. The preacher seeks to find those acceptable words. He desires to find a way to convey truths into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. I am certain that every preacher that is here this morning can relate. It seems as the further we journey in this walk of faith going toward the rapture moment, facing the challenges that we face in this hour. I, for one, and again, I trust that I speak for others. It is, what can we preach? It is, what can we say? It is really, how do we approach the subject again? How can we possibly convey what is in our hearts and what we feel to be in the heart of God to give to the day and the hour that we are living in? What is left to say? What is left to preach? We've looked at it this way and looked at it that way, and we preached it with this measure of love and compassion, and then preached it with yet another way of conviction and firmness. And I have learned in my sojourn that the same people that they don't like it hard, well, guess what? They really don't take it soft either. Either way it goes, sometimes you find yourself preaching to people that, what can I say and how can it be possibly said that we could convey these truths that need to be? In the book of Ecclesiastes, he preaches and he has some things that he wants to bring. Bottom line, he comes to us in the 12th chapter after investigating and looking into several areas of life. He comes to the conclusion that yet is the conclusion of the matter, even in this day that we live. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, our generation don't want to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Amen. A time when they are given to searching out and having itching ears and wanting to hear it. But you know what? However you say it, they really don't want to get down to the foundation of the issue. The conclusion of the whole matter is still fearing God. The conclusion of the whole matter is still keeping His commandments. It's still trying to live conscientiously and carefully before God day by day, and trying to maintain, if you please, a God awareness, a God consciousness in the culture, in the society that we are living in today. And I must submit to you, apostolics, that is a challenge. That is a great challenge in the day and the hour that we are living in, and how every man of God is attempting to maintain before their congregations and to preach a message to at least keep a God awareness in the minds of people, to try to at least hold up the precepts and the principles of God's Word. Amen. In the midst of this wicked and perverse generation, while we have people going to universities and going to places of education, and we have men going to jobs, and we have ladies maintaining their homes, and here we are coming to church two or three times a week, we really have just a little window, amen, of trying to step into the minds and the hearts of people. If you have church 2-3 hours a service, and you have 2-3-4 services a week, what is that? What is that compared to the voluminous hours that people are walking on the concrete and working on their jobs and going into their classrooms? Amen. Child of God, you need to understand, your preacher's got a job on his hands. He's got you under the sound of his voice just a few hours, at least from a pulpit standpoint. He's trying to steer you from here to the glory world, and you're being bombarded here and there, and the pressure and the anxieties and the stresses of life, and we rush into the house of God, and a preacher's got to come back Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever the case may be, and say, hey, I've got to get you focused again. We've got to get back in the center of it all again. Hey, we've still got a heaven to gain. We've still got a hell to shun. Hey, young person, we want you to do good in school. We want you to have an education. We want you to be, but there's an eternity. Hey, there's a walk with God. Hey, there's a spiritual life. There's something that we've got to keep before you. We've got to continually hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We've got to fear God. We've got to keep His commandments. We've got to remember that God is going to bring every work into judgment, whether it's good, whether it's evil. And all that you're doing, don't you ever forget this business about God, this business about your soul, this business about working out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Don't forget it. Amen. Amen. And the conclusion of the whole matter, and the preacher seeks to find acceptable words. How can I bring it again? How can I present it again? How can I bring it around again? This thing about God and heaven and hell and judgment. What's it really going to take to get through to the minds of our congregations and to the minds of our people? Ecclesiastes opens the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And really, it doesn't open with all that much of a positive statement. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon, the son of David, writes his opening remarks to one of the greatest sermons, in fact, that we have recorded of him in the book of the preacher. He opens his message. I doubt this would pass the homiletics and hermeneutics class. I doubt that it would fly in the religious circles that we're living in. a real man with a real message. It's not all that positive. It's not all of that polished. He just comes out and says, look, it's vanity of vanities. It's vanity. And the further you go, it looks like the worse it gets. Before it's over, it's vexation of spirit. And what profit hath a man of all of his labor under the sun? Somebody must have said, sir, the cot is right here, and I'll call for another man to interview you. It looks like he's the picture of pessimism. It looks like he's the picture of depression. It looks like he's the picture of, whoa, every kind of thing you can imagine except that positive, upbeat. We're going over the top. And the wisest man except Jesus Christ that ever lived just said, I want to tell you, this is my sermon today. It's everything you're seeing and everything that's around you is vanity. And it's all vexation of spirit. And how would you like to hear that every Sunday morning? Praise God. I told you I'm going to do it my way now. Hallelujah. But the real deal was later he said, I want to tell you this. I'd like to tell you that sorrow is better than laughter. It's really tightening up now. I'd like to tell you that it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting. And what kind of cat is this then? What kind of guy is this? Amen. But I tell you, the preacher just went on preaching. He just went on preaching. Hallelujah. And again, the bottom line was, I got to take you full circle and we're going to come back. Preach anything you want. We're going to come back. It's the conclusion of the whole matter is fearing God and it's keeping His commandments. I'm going to get there in a moment. Just stay with me. And the next few verses, he gives to us what I have called the cycle of life. He says it's like this. It's one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. And this is how it works. The sun ariseth and the sun goeth down and the sun hasteneth to his place where he arose. This is the way it goes. The wind goeth toward the south. And it turneth about and blows toward the north, whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again according to his circuits. And have you noticed, he could have said that all the rivers, they just run into the sea. And yet the sea is not full. And unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. And all things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. He said, I just want you to notice that it is a cycle. It is a cycle. It is one generation coming and one generation going in the same hospital while parents are rejoicing and grandparents are rejoicing in a bundle of life and of joy. Just a few doors, maybe on another floor and another part of the hospital, the mortician is being called. One generation passeth away and another generation cometh. But the earth, it just abides forever. It just keeps going. It just keeps going. And it's like this. The sun ariseth and the sun goeth down, hasteneth to the place from whence it arose. And the wind, it just whirls about. The rivers, they just keep flowing. They just keep flowing into the sea. Amen. It's just a daily deal. It's just a daily cycle. The sun going up and the sun going down. And in that life, there are routines. There are routines. People rising, going to work. Men years ago going out into the fields at the break of day or before nearly to take care of their crops and try to sow and to cultivate and to harvest and working from sun up to sun down and the routine. Life is a lot of routine. Have you noticed that? It's just the routine. And I know that there are many today that, they break the harness and they want a lot of exotic things and they've got to have new things. One of the problems with the last perhaps few generations, even my generation, they're not able sometimes to just key in and lock in. But, the routine of life is much of what has made America great. Praise God. Just men getting up at the ring of an alarm clock and letting their feet hit the floor and going through their morning routine, their coffee and toast or whatever, and out the back door and going to the job. And some of them standing in front of the same machine and been there for many, many years doing the same. For some would be, and maybe even for them, monotonous routine. Assembly line workers taking that nut and bolt and this wrench and over and over, over and over. Routine. That is much of what life is made out of. Amen. And we got to teach our children that every day ain't going to be a red letter day. We got to teach our children that, a whole lot of life is just, kind of putting a belt buckle on and tightening up and getting after it. A whole lot of it is not going to be a flamboyant big deal every day. We got to teach them. It's up and go to school. It's do this. It's brush your teeth. Take a bath. It's comb your hair, and they need to comb it while they still got it. But comb your hair and just do what you got to do. Hey, everything's not going to be all exciting every day of your life. Deal with it. Amen. Everything ain't going to be just flamboyant every day. Deal with it. It don't have to be a trip to the mall every afternoon. Just deal with it. Praise God. Praise God. It's just routine. It's a mother getting up in the morning and saying, there's certain things that I need to do. And particularly in years gone by, and please, no reflection on in our younger mothers. Some of them are in the same mode. They were taught well. They were raised well. But in years gone by, brother, some of those old precious mothers, they had their deal. They had their plan. I mean, Monday's wash day and Tuesday's some other kind of day. And dinner is at 4 o'clock every night. And they had their routine. And you know what? In many ways, America was a better place when a lot of that was in place. Amen. When it was come home at the same time and eat at the same time and we congregate at the table at the same time. And if you're going to eat and you're not eating in your bedroom in front of a television, we got a dinner table. And we have family time and we are oriented this way and you can expect daddy's old car to come putting down the driveway about 4:30, 5 o'clock. You could set your watch by it. You could set your clock by it. Amen. When I was a kid, I better not get all strung out here, y'all. But I was always mistreated all of my life. That's why I'm in such a shape today. We had a grade school just a few yards, quarter of a mile or less from my house. And everybody got to ride the bus. Everybody got to ride the bus except my neighborhood. Except my neighborhood. And we had to walk. And there was a railroad track down in front. And I'm talking in Ohio, sleet, snow, rain, wind. We had to walk. And when I got to junior high, I had to walk to the grade school to get the bus to go 7 miles to go to junior high. I've got an attitude. It's still there. And you know what? Now they're telling me that they're stopping the bus in front of that neighborhood. I mean, yeah. We had to walk. All of these thin skins and wimps, they got to... Amen. And that was just the beginning of my story. And it kind of goes downhill from there. If you don't like me, I got a reason that I'm the way I am. But Everybody's got a reason for the way they are. So it was, but about 4:30 of the evening, my dad would come home, just a factory worker. He wasn't a skilled craftsman per se, but he operated a machine. He run the same machine for 15 years. And about 4:30 of the evening, dinner was going to be on the table, such as it was. And the routine was there, and the plan was there. And if I was down at the river messing around, and it was dinner time, my dad could whistle. I'm telling you, he had a way of curling his tongue up and whistling. And when he whistled, I don't care, I was a quarter of a mile away, I could hear him whistle. And I thought, I better get to the house because dinner's on the table. And if I don't, I'm breaking up the plan. Amen. And if I keep breaking up the plan, parts of me is going to get broke up. And so I'd come hoofing it from the river down by the river. It was actually a licking river. We called it a creek. The Yankees called it a creek. And all the educated folks call it a creek. But it was a creek for us ignorant Yankees. But I'd come running, and the routine, you know, it was just part of it. Somebody said that it's variety, you know, that is the spice of life, but it's monotony that pays the bills. You know what I mean? It's just locking in and doing things that need to be done and have to be done. And life is made up of a whole lot of just normal days. It's just rocking on. It's just doing what needs to be done and doing what needs to take place and going where you need to go. And really, really, again, a certain amount of that is very, very positive. It is the foundation, very foundation of the greatness of our country. Men going to work, ladies taking care of their homes, burying their arms in dishwater or before they had the new deals, you know, and doing the mopping on a certain day. It's just, and everybody said routine. Everybody said that just daily deal. Everybody said just normal. Amen. Are you really depressed yet, Don? It's just, I got it to do, and this is the way that it's got to be done. Yeah, it's that way. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the wind goes this and the wind goes there, and it all whirleth about continually, and the rivers just keep flowing into the sea, and one generation comes and another generation goes, and ho-hum, here it goes, and this is the way that life really, really is. But I want to talk to you this morning, if I could, amen, that having said all of that, we can be plagued, we can be bothered, we can be hindered, and what I'm coming to talk to you about this morning is, we can be bothered, we can be hindered with too many normal days. We can be bothered with too many normal days. That may work with consistency on the job and consistency in housekeeping and consistency in pursuing of education. But when it comes to our walk with God and our experience in our relationship with God, brothers and sisters, we can be cursed with just too many normal days of the sun coming up and the sun going down and the rivers flowing into the sea and church Sunday morning and church Sunday night, and here we go off to midweek service, and here we are singing songs that we've sung for countless numbers of years, and there he is, the preacher that we have been listening to for X number of years, and here we go to this text that we have heard from over and over and over again, and somehow it can sink over and eclipse over into a capacity of another day, another day, another sermon, another service. It's another occasion of attending the house of God. It's just another time of sitting through an hour's Bible class. It's just another time, and after he's done, he may may give us an altar call, and after this is over, we're going to rush our way to our restaurants, and we're going to have our fellowship, and I'm going to his house, and we're going to her house, and we're going to play board games, and we're going to have a good time. I'm going to tell you something. We can be cursed with living too many normal days. We need some days of divine interruption. We need some days of experience in the Spirit. We need some moments that are crowded with destiny in our lives. We need days where the breath of angels breathes on us. We need days of illumination. We need days of revelation. Pentecost in this late hour is cursed with just too many normal days. Too many normal days. We need days. I wanted to sing a song this morning, and I wasn't sure that anyone knew it, but it's that old tune, Shut In With God in a Secret Place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. Some of us have come to this meeting saying, God, we've just had the last while. We've had too many normal days. It's not that we don't love you. It's not that we don't want to serve you. But God, we have come to this meeting needing a word. We have come here with anxious hearts. We've come here with hungry spirits. We've come here with something moving. Hallelujah. And possibly one of the benefits of having such like gatherings as we have had here, it's just not our normal days. And maybe that's the benefit of conferences and youth camps and camp meetings in one sense of the word. It's breaking the norm and it's breaking the routine and somehow throwing away the calendar and throwing away the scheduling and saying, God, Lord, I want to be shut in with you. I want to find that secret place of the Almighty. Lord, I need a breath. Breathe on me, Lord. God, I want to be shut in with you. God, would you hide me under the shadow of your wing? Would you somehow arrest my mind? Would you somehow help me to consecrate my attention? Help me to remember I've got to fear you. Help me to remember that every work's going to be brought into judgment. Help me, Holy Ghost. I don't want this just to be a normal day. I need revival. I need a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Oh, oh, that's what gives us Sunday night church. That's what gives us revival services. People walking through our doors. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I want to say this. I want to say this. I salute every saint of God. And the longer I live, the greater appreciation I have. I don't want to take too much time. I must hurry. But years and years ago, and I mentioned this so often, and it affected me. It was not a normal day for me. It was years ago in a little country town in southern Indiana, somewhat southern Indiana, a little farming community, and I could call the name of the pastor, and I'm not a bit ashamed to do so, but it was, we stepped into the kitchen area, somewhat a fellowship area, and there was this beautiful antique cabinet that was there. In that cabinet, there was about three or four shelves, and there was some old pictures, not color type pictures, but the old black and white, some of them yellowed and some of them tarnished, and that elder, I'll tell you, it was Elder R.C. Cavness. I was preaching for him, and we walked up to that cabinet, And he started telling me this brother and this sister and these people and this couple, and briefly maybe just a little story. And his voice would sometimes crack. And he said it like this. He said, since I've been here in Shelbyville, he said, I have buried a church. And by that, he was saying many have gone on to meet their reward. And he told this story. He told that story. And he told about one time that he was so distraught as a very young man. He took the church at 25 years old, I think, back in 1945 or so. And he said, I was so put out. He said, I couldn't break a certain element there. And he said, I approached the pulpit that night with all intentions of resigning. And just, he said, the world's too big around for me to just beat my brains out here. And he approached that subject. And he said, suddenly in the congregation, a woman, she jumped up in his expression, and I'll use it. He said, just like somebody had stuck her with a hat pin. Some of you won't even know what that is, but a hat pin. And said, she jumped up and she turned on that congregation. And she said, my Lord, saints, what do you want, a hireling? And he said, I just kind of backed up and said, Law Smith, take your liberty. And said, time she got done working that bunch over, he said, I stepped to the pulpit and said, bless God, I'm leaving on my own steam. You ain't running me off. He said, that old saint right there said, man, it was like somebody run a saw log up my backbone. And I said, I'm here till God's done with me. And he died pastoring that church. Hallelujah. And we stood there, and we stood there. And I don't know where all this fits necessarily, but we stood there, and he went through, and the tears filled his eyes, and he was reminiscing of the precious saints of God, stalwart and steady and true. Amen. And I'll go back to what I started with. Every service wasn't a revival. Every service wasn't a ho-hum, here we go over the top. There's times in every church when hell breathes down its neck. Well, I'm going to preach the way I preach here today. There's times when it seems like every devil in hell sits in the middle of the song service. There's times that the choir ain't choiring and the singers ain't singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But thank God for some good, faithful children of the Lord that said, I'm not church hopping. I'm not church shopping. This is my church. That's my pastor. Amen. And we're going to have some normal days to go through. But one Sunday night, somebody walks in the building. Some brother, some sister, some saint of God. And starts a victory march. And starts a hallelujah chorus. And says, devil, your kingdom's coming down. We're not having a normal Sunday night. We're not having a bound revival. Some saint of God. You don't have to be a pulpit preacher. Child of God, we need you in the pew. We need you that when this normality steps in, when this normal spirit comes in, somebody said, I may have sung that old congregational song 100 times, but I'm slapping my hands tonight, and it's I'll fly away, oh glory. Hallelujah. And old Ma whoever, and brother whoever, he may have said the same thing this Sunday night in testimony he said last Sunday night, but heaven break this spirit. God move in our congregation. God move into this place. We've been cursed with too many normal days. We need a breakthrough. We need a runaway. We need some strongholds pulled down. We need some normal days. And child of God, your pastor needs to help you. And you need to help your pastor. It rocks on too many services of same old, same old. Somebody's got to stand up and say, you know what? The sun comes up and the sun goes down. And it's ever been that all the rivers are flowing into the sea. and all the winds is blowing this way and that. But hey, this is one too many normal days. This is one too many normal days. Amen. We need some children of the King. Amen. That go through their times of struggle and they go through their times of trial. And they finally come to their senses and say, you know what? I need to call my own prayer chain this week. You know what? I need to call my own fast day this week. Amen. I got news for you, brother, sister. I don't care who's in the pulpit or how big the choir is. The same man that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, is the same one that said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Your preacher can't piggyback you into the glory world. The choir's not going to sing you happy every Sunday. Somebody's got to jerk their clothes on and tighten up their belt and say, I'm sick of this normality. I want to shout again. I want to talk in tongues again. I'm going to save myself. We need some people coming to church understanding that they've got a part in their salvation. Yes, it's already paid for. Calvary purchased it. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for a church. And if you'll forgive the label, conservative church. Thank God for a preacher. And the label is the conservative preacher. Thank God for holiness. Holiness church. Holiness preacher. Amen. Mark me off if you want to. But oh, you can be seated. We have got something going on. I don't want to get out of my place. And the elders are here. And I am under submission to them. But you know what? There's a built-in snare. Forgive my ignorance. I'm going to say it. There's a built-in snare among conservative Pentecostals. People are sitting around in our churches because they've got a bulwark in the pulpit. They feel secure. Because they've got good saints around them, they feel secure. But they're backsliding out of conservative churches. Young people are losing out in conservative churches. Choir members are losing their way in conservative churches. I'm here to tell you, it's still every man, woman, boy, and girl has got to get themselves involved in the process of their salvation. Be seated. I'm kind of feeling like at home now. Amen. I promised myself I was going to behave, but here we go. We got people sitting around in our churches. They ain't hearing a blessed thing that's being preached. They're not picking up their Bible and having any personal consecration. Amen. They sit there like zombies. And it ain't all them drugs you're talking about. And I understand that. But some of them are sitting there gawking. I'm going to talk to the preacher after church. I'm troubled. I'm going to talk to the preacher after church. I know I got your attention good. Ain't nothing wrong if you need to talk to the preacher. But there's a flip side to that. Some people are wanting to piggyback on the back of a preacher because of the lack of their own consecration. They stare holes through a preacher while he's sweating bullets trying to preach the word of God. And they've already got it in their head. I'm going to have a 2-hour conference. And here's a preacher. Amen. If he's like me, he's led the song service, preached the sermon, prayed in the altar. He's wore to a frazzle. He's wore out. I'm going to talk to the preacher. Again, you need counseling, go for it. But there is an element that I want to talk about. If you'll open up your ears, amen, and quit letting church be just normal, and quit letting the sermon just be another sermon, and quit just sitting through Bible study, and quit staring at the back wall while the preacher's preaching. I'm going to tell you something. The answer's in the world.
God sends you a word. God sends His word and heals. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Quit staring holes through your preacher. Let him be your preacher. Let him minister to you. Let the Word of God talk to you. It'll save you. Preachers are, be seated. Preachers are exhausting themselves. Preachers are wearing themselves to a frazzle. And a part of it is we're battling this too many normal days. I'm going to knock some of this out here. Amen. Thank God for motels and fancy notebook papers. I appreciate it. You got to have some special days. Every day, sometimes it's just going to church. Some days it's just doing what you know you got to do. It's just like Daddy getting up, shutting the alarm clock off. I had a guy the other day, he supposed to pray through back in the first year, and he called me up on a Monday night, and he was screaming in the answering machine, bawling and screaming. The guy had been wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and whatever else, and he'd had a bad day. You understand? He had told me a few days before that. He said, "You know what, man, 53 years old." He said, "My dad usually calls me and wakes me up for Sunday. When I went over to his little rum-dum ramshackle house he's supposed to be living in because he wrecked his life on sin, it's pitiful. I don't mean that to be ugly. I was weeping when I pulled up nearly in his drive. Didn't know what I'd find. I looked at him, I said, I want to tell you something. The day ain't going to happen when I'm calling you up and waking you up for Sunday school. Ain't going to happen. 53 years old, you ain't got enough what my grandpa used to call gumption. I think it's G-U-M-P-T-I-O-N. I don't know how. I think that's how you spell it. Old-fashioned gump. I know, Californians, you don't know about gumption. But my West Virginia grandparents, they knew about gumption. I said, I ain't calling you on no Sunday morning to get you to come to church. Amen, amen, amen. Forgive me, and it don't sound good, but if you're waiting on me to call you up on Sunday morning, 53 or 4 years old, to hell you'll go, because I ain't calling you. I call you this Sunday, I'll have to call you next Sunday. Church in the house of God, living for God, getting delivered from crack and alcohol, and what God gave you, and if that's not enough, I'm out of business. Well, praise the Lord. We need some special days. I need to hurry. We need some special days. I remember as just a small boy, first time I got up in a youth service to exhort and read a scripture, I was 12 years old. And I was been fairly active. I don't know if that was the way it should have been, but it did. And I was fairly active after that. 40 years ago, this summer between high school, me and another young boy was doing some youth revival. I don't know if all that should have happened, but it happened that way. And I guess it was in the will of God. I have to believe it is. But at any rate, I got infatuated with the center column reference in a Bible. I got infatuated with it. I know that that's a publisher's insertion. It's not of divine origin. And I know that sometimes they just don't quite line up. You know, I understand now. But I was thrilled. I was enthralled with center column reference, running reference. I must have been 13, maybe. And I was sitting at the end of the table in my grandparents' little home, 135 East Stevens Street in Newark, Ohio, just a little old wood frame house, just a very small home. And I had this new Bible, sitting at the end of the kitchen table, and I started reading in the book of Hebrews. I think it was around 8, 9, 10 chapter. And I began to run reference, and I stuck my fingers back in the references, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And I started reading those scriptures. Then I stuck papers back there. And then I got me a notebook, and I started writing those scriptures as I began to read them. And brothers and sisters, after these many years, my heart takes me back to that afternoon. It was not a normal day. It was a day of revelation. It was a day of illumination. Doesn't mean anything to you, but through the years in my ministry, wherever I have gone, my mind and heart has returned to that afternoon, the end of my grandmother's kitchen table. I wasn't eating cake and having her give me that orange drink and that little orange Kool-Aid that she always had in the refrigerator. And there's no place that smells like grandma's house. You know, she always had a big old ham. Oh, I better not go there. I better stay out of there. But I was sitting at that table, and brother, I started reading about the high priest. And I started reading about the Passover, and I went back again to Exodus, I think 12, and I looked, and line upon line, it started coming together. The dots started connecting, and I found him as the Passover. I found him as at the same time my high priest. I began to see the beautiful unfolding drama and picture of the redemptive story. I said, God, the mystery of the ages began to unfold before me that day in that little humble home. It wasn't a university. It wasn't some higher school of learning, but it was just a day that somehow transcended the idea of just the sun going up and the sun going down. It went beyond just an afternoon with me sitting in my grandmother's house that I treasured and loved so well. Oh, it might have been because I had a grandmother that prayed. It might have been because I had a grandmother that prayed. Hallelujah. I think I'm fourth generation oneness on my dad's side, and fourth or fifth generation oneness, as we say, on my mother's side. And it may have been the prayers of my parents, the prayers of my grandparents. But that day is forever etched in my heart and in my mind today. Amen. As here a little and there a little, as here a little and there a little, the work of redemption began to be revealed in greater detail and in greater measure. Young person, get you a Bible somewhere. Get you a Bible somewhere and linger in its pages and pour over the Word of God. You need some days. You may not ever wind up a pulpit preacher. You may never be evangelist or pastor. But I believe in some measure every child of God needs moments of illumination. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul prayed. He said for the Ephesian church that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said that Moses endured as seeing Him who was invisible. We need some generation on our hands today that have a heart burning, heart yearning revelation of here, O Israel. The Lord our God is one. We still need some young people who have been shut in with God in a secret place and step away with a revelation of you must be born again. We need some unusual moments. We need some unusual days. Oh, let's praise Him together. Would you talk with Him right now? I'm tired of normality. I want to step into a new vein. I want to go to a higher level. I'm tired of normal days. We'll never survive the perils of the last days just living normally. You'll never overcome seducing spirits just living normally. You'll never have the venom, the vigor, the vitality, the passion to withstand the powers of temptation just living normal days. You need shut in with God. You remain standing, musicians, help me. Sun goeth up and the sun goeth down. The wind whirleth about continually. Rivers flowing into the sea. Life, life, living. Some by necessity, the punching of clocks. And the doing of our daily duties, the positive aspects of just knuckling down and tuning in and doing the right thing, but in the spirit. Some days ago, even years ago, in reading from the book of Luke, a time of lamentation for our Lord. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, a weeping Christ. The one that Isaiah had foretold. The one who would be acquainted with grief. The one who would be acquainted with sorrow. And that he was a Savior to save a world that would not receive him. Coming unto his own, and his own receiving him not. He weeps over Jerusalem. If you'd only known. If you'd only known what was in store, if you had only known what I had for you, that the days should come, your enemies are going to cast a trench about you, they're going to compass you round about on every side. He weeps, he cries. They're going to lay you even with the ground and your children within thee, and there's not going to be one stone left upon another, because thou knewest not. You were so out of touch, and you were so out of sync. Spiritual matters were so far from you. You did not know. You did not know enough to redeem the moment. And let me say it this way. I believe in essence he's saying, some of the most, if not the most, unusual days in your history, you didn't key in on it. It was just another normal day. Me coming, walking your streets. Forgive, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but as if the Lord was saying, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fulfillment of the prophets, the hope of the ages, the Messiah. And you do not. It's just another normal day for you. I would that you'd know. Some years ago, I read all in this passage, and I hurry now. The very next setting is, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. From weeping over the city, he walks into the temple. Can I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that when you walk with Jesus into the temple, and you see him buying and selling in the temple, the frivolity, the hucksters, the flea market activity of selling, I suppose, maybe the crippled and the lame, making it convenient for them to have church, the lightheartedness, the frivolity. Can I submit to you, friend, that when you walk with Jesus into the temple, you can more understand the weeping over the city. The condition of the church, their spiritual condition at that time, buying, selling, lightheartedness, ho-hum, 400 silent years, not a fresh word from heaven. And I looked again, weeping for the city. You didn't know your hour. You didn't know the moment. It's just normal routine. When you went to the church, when you went to the church, when you looked at their spiritual intensity, when you looked at the level of their spiritual passion, when you've seen the condition of the church, it's no wonder Jesus is weeping, because this at the church is what brought them to a place that they would not see or understand. Too many normal days going to church selling their turtle doves. Too many normal days. What's going to go at the highest bidder? Too many normal days. The machinery oiled and creaking along. But no real prayer in the house of prayer. No real dedication in the house of God. No real consecration. Just, we've been doing this way. And the maelstrom turns. And as it turns, it goes lower and lower. And people look around. We're all on the same level. I'm submitting to you today, and forgive me for taking much time. Somewhere, we've got to rise above the prevailing spirit and say, Laodicea, lukewarmness, indifference, cares of life, working jobs, pursuing education, looking for girlfriends, trying to find companions. Somewhere! Oh, you ought to thank God every day you live for a preacher. Stands in your face week after week, trying to say, we want you to know the day. We want you to know the hour. We want you to know where you are on God's time clock. Hear ye the word of the Lord. God, save us from too many normal days. Slip your hands up. If you're concerned, breathe a prayer. If you're burdened about your own experience, breathe a prayer. All over the house, let the sounds of prayer come. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to miss the sermon. I'm going to miss the message. If I don't get spiritual, if I don't walk in the Spirit, I'm coming against the cares of life. I'm coming against a distracted mind. I feel like God.